We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there, Knicks fans. How you doing? It's your boy, John of the Macri, with you for another episode of the Knicks Film School podcast coming at you on a Wednesday as we get our way through the beginning of September, inching ever so closely to the start of training camp. And before we know it, there will be basketball on. Real live basketball involving the players that we love and love to root for, the New York Knicks. But still got a little bit of a ways to go until then. So we will continue to fill the time with insightful and interesting and hopefully well-executed conversations with people that you want to hear from. And today is certainly no exception. I was pleased to be joined today by the associate head coach at the West Virginia University Mountaineers program, Larry Harrison. So I go through it a little bit on the pod, but I'll just tell you up front. Larry Harrison has been with WVA or WVU, excuse me, since 2007. As we get into at the end of the pod, he was an assistant coach on the team that upset the Kentucky team in the Elite Eight that had John Wall and Boogie Cousins and Eric Bledsoe. And he's been the associate head coach ever since right after that upset. So more than a decade. He, of course, is the man probably primarily responsible for bringing one Miles Deuce McBride to West Virginia. We had a very, very nice, informative and quite frankly, honest conversation. You know, sometimes college coaches, they're just, you know, they want to hype up their program, and that's fine. I love when college coaches hype up their program because nobody does it better than them. But I found Coach Harrison to be really very insightful in his analysis of Deuce McBride, why Deuce has succeeded, his expectations for Deuce when he first got to West Virginia, which were surprising to me to hear. And of course, how he thinks he's going to do with the Knicks and what he thinks his role will be in the NBA, what kind of player he might be, you know, how he's going to react if he doesn't get a ton of playing time this year. We got into all that and a whole lot more. So stick around for that conversation. One very quick note, and it's not a huge thing, but initially Coach Harrison's Wi-Fi was a little iffy, and then we shut the video off after a couple of minutes, so the audio quality picked up a lot after about 5-6 minutes or so. But for the first couple of minutes, if the audio sounds a little bit not ideal, just bear with us, and I promise you it will start to sound a lot better after a couple of minutes of the interview. So that is about all I have to say. Shout out, as always, to the one and only Andrew Claudio for amazing production on the podcast.
What can I say except you're welcome?
And without further ado, let's get to my conversation with Coach Larry Harrison. Joining me now on the Knicks Film School podcast, I am thrilled and excited to introduce a first-time guest. He is the associate head coach of the West Virginia Mountaineers. He has been so since 2007, one of the certainly best programs in the country, which we're going to talk a lot about today. And I just can't get over the fact that we have one of his kids here in New York. Larry Harrison, Coach, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing great, man. Feeling good. And thanks for having me. I appreciate that.
Listen, I appreciate it because, you know, I think going into the draft, a lot of Knicks fans were unsure of what was going to happen. Obviously, we didn't have a very high pick for the first time in a very long time. I certainly didn't expect there to be a player that the Knicks took who would really catch the fan base like Miles McBride, Deuce, already has. And I'm excited to talk to you about him. The word around here was that Tom Thibodeau had his eye on one player in this draft, and it was Deuce McBride. And it was evident at Summer League why it was that he wanted Deuce, because he comes through, you know, with flying colors in terms of the stuff that Tibbs looks for in a point of attack point guard. And in terms of how he plays on the offensive side of the ball, which we'll get to. But before we really dig into Deuce, though, I'm just curious, in terms of the style of play that you instill players with and the mentality at West Virginia, what do you think is the biggest thing that helps prepare them for the next level, whether that be the NBA, overseas, whatever? Is it like the skill technique part of it, of like how to actually play defense, or is it more the mentality, the approach to the game stuff in your mind?
It's a combination of both, but I think it's a lot has to do with the mentality. You know, you really don't have a choice if you want to play, you know, for Coach Huggins. you know, as I said earlier, when you step across those lines, whether it's in practice or in a game, you know, he just wants you to give your all and give it to play as long as you can and as hard as you can. And when you can't go anymore, then it's your choice to take yourself out of game or out of practice. We have a saying that, you know, if you take yourself out, then you have the option of putting yourself back in.
Oh, okay.
If we take you out, then we have the option of putting you back in.
So, I like that.
So the players, our players understand that. And it's the same way in practice. You know, we have three grad transfers, and one of them was asking me the other day, he said, Coach, man, you need to get a whistle. You guys need to start blowing whistles. And I said, okay. I said, I will. I said, you know what we say around here, don't you? He said, no, what's that? I said, play until you hear the whistle. And he said, but you guys don't have any whistle. I said, exactly. You know, so that's the, you know, that's the mindset that, you know, that you're talking about. You know, I mean, yeah, there is some fouling going on and things like that. But, you know, we want guys to play through contact. We want guys to continue to play and you know, and not pout or sulk about, you know, whether it's a bad call, a bad play, or, you know, we just want them to play. And we can always, you know, turn them down. It's hard to get guys to sure. turn them up. But we can always turn them down. And so that's kind of like our philosophy.
It's funny you mentioned playing through contact, because my next question was going to be about Deuce's background. So obviously came up as a quarterback in high school. And I'm thinking about that in terms of how you just described how you run your practices, but also, and look, I haven't been doing this for too long, but what struck me in his first appearance in front of the media in New York was, I mean, listen, I was, you know, 20, 21 year old kid once upon a time. I remember what I was like, and I've talked to a lot of kids around the same age. He exuded a maturity that it popped for me. And I think what we see in terms of what he's able to do on the floor has a lot to do with that. And I'm just wondering, can you, because, you know, obviously you recruited him, can you try to paint this picture of like what the background as a quarterback, how much does that have to do with now what type of player he is on the basketball court?
Well, I think the mentality playing quarterback helped, but I think it also started with his family.
Okay.
Coach Martin, one of our other assistant coaches, he was the point person as far as recruiting dudes. Obviously, we all, you know, did our part in that. But getting to know Deuce's family, you know, his father played basketball at Xavier. His father's a very disciplinarian, tough guy. His mother played tennis at Ohio State. He has an older brother that played basketball. And he got a sister that's presently here at West Virginia.
Oh, wow.
Playing volleyball. But if you meet his family, I mean, it's a very close-knit, you know, just a together family. So if you meet his family, then you can kind of like see where that discipline comes from. I mean, we obviously playing for us helped, you know, and our style of play. But the football mentality, the toughness, playing through contact, all that helped develop him into the player that he is. But I think it all started with his family. You know, that, you know, his maturity, even when we was recruiting him and talking to him, you know, you didn't seem like you was talking to a 17, 18-year-old kid. You were talking to a kid that, you know, that has some maturity and has some respect, you know, has some respect for adults and authority figures. You know, we talked to a lot of, you know, a lot of young men, and, you know, sometimes you got to pull things out of them. Sometimes, you know, the way they talk or the way they come across might not be as respectful as you would like. But, you know, talking with Deuce, you go, wow, you get off the phone or you walk away when you talk to him in person and you go, wow, that kid has a lot going on.
It's amazing. It's unmistakable how mature he is for anybody, but especially for his age. And the other thing I wanted to ask you just in relation before I move on from the football thing, I know he was injured. I think it was his junior year of high school. If I'm not mistaken, Prez, one of my colleagues over at Strickland, brought this up to me and I wanted to pass it along because I didn't think about it. But is his development curve as a point guard, do you think, because that's a valuable year, junior year of high school, in terms of being able, like and then he, of course, had the great year he had as a senior. And then, of course, he's done what he's done the last 2 years. Do you think that injury has maybe held him back a little bit and he maybe even not as far along in his development curve as some other players his age?
Tough question. I'm not sure that the injury held him back. I think it maybe gave him more drive. More I'm gonna show you, you know, kind of like a chip on your shoulder type of mentality that, you know, and to be honest with you, and I'm speaking personally, he's come way further than I ever expected.
Really,
you know, from a high school senior watching him play AAU, and then when he came here as a freshman, not really knowing, you know, how good he really was, and then we just started seeing the work ethic, you know, always in the gym, always willing to be coached, always asking questions. Coach, can we watch film? Coach, can you get film on this player, that player? You know, and then I remember his freshman year, we were playing Ohio State in Cleveland. And he was just starting to, you know, starting to play well. Mm-hmm. And I saw his father in the lobby. And I told his father, and, you know, I know his father from the Cincinnati days. And I told his father, I said, he's come so far. I said, I never expected him to be where he's at. And to be honest with you, even now, ending his sophomore year, where he's at now with the New York Knicks, watching him develop, I thought maybe another year, you know, the end of his junior year.
He
definitely was out.
That was the word, right? He could use another year of seasoning. But if he got that, would we be talking about a lottery pick in 2022 is what I'm wondering.
That was my thought, you know, and talking to other NBA coaches and scouts, they all said between 25 and 35 this year, mm-hmm. probably more in the 30s than in the 20s. Mm-hmm. But next year you're looking at, you know, maybe a top 10 pick. And mm-hmm. and going into the draft, the workouts and the combine, that was kind of I think that was our thinking, is that he'll go there, he'll play well, but you know, probably not as good as he would have wanted to, and you know, he'll probably end up coming back and, you know, being a lottery pick. But you know, when he went to the workouts, and I think people were more, I think they were impressed not only by his skill level and his physicalness and his toughness, but just his maturity. I think a lot of the way he came across to coaches, I think that boosted his stock as far as being draftable.
So I'm wondering, because, you know, the NBA history, NBA draft history in particular, is littered with guys who, you know, they saw the dollars. I'm not suggesting that's what Deuce did, but guys who, you know, they're like, okay, I want it now. And then they flamed out for one reason or another. And I'm wondering, and you spent a year with the Washington Wizards before you went to WVU. So you obviously, and you know, the NBA game, you know, it goes without saying. Do you think that it depends a lot on the situation when you get a kid who, you know what, maybe could have used another year? Or do you think that that's really up to the kid and the kid, I say kid, but you know, the young man, to do what he needs to do on his own? And I'm almost wondering, as I'm hearing you say that last answer, how much was the maturity part of it something that gave NBA teams, and in this case, the Knicks, faith that, look, he could come here, and even though he may not be fully ready yet, he'll do what he needs to do on his own to get there in, you know, short order.
I think that had a lot to do with it. I think Deuce got to the point after a couple of workouts. I think he got to the point where he wanted to be a pro. He knew he was a pro. You know, he didn't come back from workouts saying, you know, coach, I don't know. I went up against this person and that person, and you know, I'm not sure. Or, you know, this team wasn't really sure about me. You know, he, after his first couple of workouts, he came back, said, "Coach, I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready to go." And it was at that point, going to be right before the combine, I think as coaches, we kind of like saying, wow, we were anticipating him coming back. You know, I think we were really anticipating him coming back. And then
it must be bittersweet, I'm assuming, for your end.
It is, but you know, that's the game. That's where it goes. And then when he went to the combine, and his measurables, I guess, was off the chart.
Yeah.
And the NBA people really fell more in love with him, especially after his in-person interviews. They trusted him, you know, and that's one of the things that Coach Huggins tell players here a lot, is that, you know, I got to be able to trust you. Hmm. You know, if you want to play, you know, certain situations happen on the floor. You know, if you're in the game, or if I put you in the game, I got to trust you. And I think Deuce came across to a lot of NBA teams as, you know, we can trust this young man. You know, he's gonna do what it needs to, whatever needs to be done, you know, to make the team and to be on the floor. And I think that was a big part of, like you were saying, his maturity, the way he came across. And then again, it goes back to his background, you know, his family, you know, his mother and father. I think, he came across as someone that you could say, hey, you know, this guy got something going on.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
And the other thing I'm wondering, because I've, you know, look, there's maybe I'm biased. I don't think there's any bigger stage in sports than Madison Square Garden and New York. Talk about, you know, you mentioned players he faced off against at the combine or whatever it is last year. I mean, I don't, what's more impressive, guarding the number one pick and the soon to be number one pick in the draft, one on up and down the court and making his life miserable again, you know, when you guys played OK State, going up against the soon to be national champions, you know, in Baylor. I mean, got to deal with Kansas and like Big 12 is no joke. I have to think at this point, you know, teams are looking around at anybody who comes out of your conference and like, look, if they could hold their own with against these teams, they'll be able to hold their own against the pros.
Yeah. I mean, we've said all along the last 5+ years that the Big 12 had been the best conference basketball wise in the country. I think, again, one of the things that really helped Deuce, you know, when we talked about his injury and then not really being recruited and him having faith in Coach Huggins and our staff. And we trusted him, too, because when we took his commitment, at the end of his junior year when he was hurt.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So not only did he trust us, but we trusted him. And again, I go back to a lot of it had to do with the family background. You know, we knew how tough the dad was. We knew how disciplined the dad was. And coming from Moeller High School and the coach at Moeller, Coach Kramer, we knew, you know, we know him. We've recruited guys. We've coached guys from him before. So it was a trust thing, and it really blew up into, as I said to Walt when I saw him in Cleveland when we played Ohio State, I told him, I said, you know, I never saw this coming. I never thought that Deuce would be as good as he was at that time as a freshman. And then his sophomore year, or the summer leading into the sophomore year, you know, whenever you hear a ball bounce, you know, you looked in the practice facility and it was Deuce, you know, not once a day, but twice a day, even sometimes three times a day. You know, so he was in the facility.
So, I mean, you were a scout for the Wizards. You know, you, it was your, you know, your job to look for traits in, you know, players that, like, do you want, like, let me rephrase that. Why do you want the kid that most people looked at and said, I didn't see this coming? Is it just because it's proof of the work ethic, or is it the confidence? I mean, I imagine it's all of it, right?
Yeah, it's all of it. And it's not something that, that you can see. I mean, it's like Javon Carter. Mm. You know, people ask us about Javon Carter. Do we see that coming? No, we didn't see that coming. But the type of players that we recruit and the way we coach, you can't help but get better. Mm. You know, you're not going to stay in the same skill level. You're going to get better because we encourage guys to be in the gym. The way we coach you, you're not gonna just go through the motions. Mm-hmm. So you're gonna get better. And then if you have that little extra in you, you know, like some of the players that we have had, you know, now you elevate to a whole nother level. And I think that's what happened with Deuce and happened with Javon Carter, Devin Ebanks, Deshaun Butler, you know, Kevin Jones. We've had a number of 3- and 4-star guys who have been overlooked, but you know, when they play, quote, the Cade Cunninghams and the 5-star guys, you know, they're at the same level because they're a lot more, sometimes they're more competitive than maybe the player that they're going up against.
You mentioned being competitive and Javon Carter. I imagine that both players will be hoping that they get to see the floor in the Nets-Knicks games this year. Do those two guys know each other at all?
Oh, yeah. They've been communicating since Deuce, when Javon got traded to the Nets and Deuce got drafted by the Knicks. They've been communicating. And, you know, I told them both. I said, the good thing about both you guys being in New York, I said, we can make one trip and we can see both of you guys, you know? So we're excited. You know, we're going to try to maybe come to training camp.
Wonderful.
In September, you know, early October, you know, and maybe, you know, catch a practice or an exhibition game or something that, you know, so that way we can support both of them.
You've been incredibly generous with your time. Just a couple more and then I'm going to get you out of here. We haven't really touched on his actual game because I quite frankly, I think it spoke for itself, not only in West Virginia, but certainly at Summer League. You know, I don't tend to worry about the, is he a point guard? Is he a combo guard? I mean, he's a basketball player. And it seems like he could run an offense. So let me start there. Are you confident that he's going to be able to run an NBA offense when called upon?
I don't think that would be a problem at all. I think, like you said, he's a guard.
Yeah.
He's a guard. You know, when you look at the NBA today, you know, I mean, there's only a handful of quote point guards. The majority of the guards in the league are just that, guards, whether they can play the point or play the two. You know, Chris Paul, maybe Ja Morant. I mean, just like I said, Kevin Durant could be a point guard if you want to you want to call him that, you know.
No, yeah.
So
who runs the offense?
I don't think that's going to be an issue. I think if Coach Thibodeau would like Deuce to set an offense and run a play, I think he will be able to do that. I think if he wants him to be able to spot up and shoot an open shot, I think he's very capable of doing that. I think the best part of his game is his mid-range.
Yes.
You know, he can really drive it hard and pull up. That's one of the things that he's really worked on hard while he was here at West Virginia. And I think that's going to help him, you know, in the NBA. I know talking to him, obviously the NBA game is a lot different than the college game because from talking to him in the NBA game, they want you to shoot threes.
I was just about to say, it's fascinating to me that he's worked on that because to me, the pull-up mid-range game is like, that's the last step for like a superstar, right? It's like when the teams are taking away the three, what do you need? It's, you know, you do what Kawhi Leonard and Kevin Durant do. You dribble into the 16 footer. He's already got that, which is really cool.
Right. He's very capable of making a three. I mean, he can make a 3-point shot, but like you said, the best part of his game is the pull up game. But getting back to your question about whether you're a point guard, I think he's just a guard. I think he can probably guard three positions, definitely the one and the two. Not necessarily because of his height, but because of his size and his toughness. I think he could guard a 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", guy that, you know, he can get up under him and be physical with him. But I think the Knicks are going to hopefully use him in a variety of ways, both offensively and defensively.
Well, last two, one about the Knicks and one about a old team that you coached a while ago. So this team, you know, kind of came out of nowhere last year in terms of the Knicks. There are expectations here that they will, you know, compete for a playoff spot again, maybe even, you know, mess around in the playoffs. My guess is that at least at first, minutes may be hard to come by. Do you think he's going to be okay and be able to still maintain a high level of confidence in his abilities if, you know, he goes a game or a couple games without maybe seeing the court? And I want to preface this by saying I want to see him on the court because I think he's really good. But just, you know, it's life of a rookie. You don't know if that's necessarily going to be in the cards for you. How do you think he would deal with that?
I think he'll be okay. Especially, you know, he's talked to Javon Carter, and the G League, you know, is not what it used to be.
No,
it's not where, you know, they just send guys down and forget about him. I think, and like you said, I hope that he makes the rotation and be able to get the playing time. But I think that if for whatever reason he's not getting the playing time and they say, hey, you know, go play a couple games and then come back, I think that's beneficial than they just sitting the bench and not getting better. So I think he'll handle either situation, you know, well. Like that, he talked to Javon Carter. I talked to Javon Carter about that, and he said it was good for him to go down and play a couple games and then come back than just sit the bench, you know, and you know, be a cheerleader. And I think Deuce, hopefully he won't have to experience that. But if he do, I think he'll be able to handle that. I think he's mature enough for that.
It's exciting to hear. Again, I hope, man, I want to see the kid on the court. I'm not going to lie. I don't know who has to leave the rotation or has to not be in the rotation, but I think, I'll be honest with you. I think a lot of Knicks fans fell in love with him when they saw him at Summer League, and not just because he hit, you know, 50 some odd percent from three. Seemed like he couldn't miss a few of those games, but just everything we've been talking about, you could tell, There's something special about him. I do, however, want to finish up with a different question about a different team. You've recruited number one picks. You've had number one recruiting classes. And yet I think arguably the most impressive thing on your resume back in 2010, you were an associate. Well, you probably became associate head coach after this, right? You were still just assistant, right?
Right.
So, you know, was it considered the greatest freshman class in college basketball history? Of course, I'm talking about University of Kentucky's 2009-10 team with John Wall, Boogie Cousins, Eric Bledsoe. Everybody figured they were just going to go undefeated, steamroll all the way to a championship. And then they ran into a little team from West Virginia in the Elite Eight, and you guys took them down. I have to ask you about that game. What do you remember from it? What can you tell me about what that experience was like?
Well, I definitely remember that because it was my scout. And you know, obviously, like you said, it's the talent wise, you know, they were amazing with John Wall and Bledsoe and those guys. And I remember after we beat Washington, I think it was.
Yeah, you had Washington, and yeah. I had it up here. I'll find it right now.
Yeah. And after we beat them, I remember telling Coach, I said, Coach, we can beat Kentucky. And he said, yeah. I said, Coach, we can beat Kentucky. And I just, you know, like when you talk about five-star guys, and again, I'm not knocking five-star guys because I would love to have some on our team. But, you know, some guys are a little hungrier than others. And you can tell maybe by their demeanor, you know, the way they carry themselves, mm-hmm. you know, on the court. And I'm not for sure, but I don't think Kentucky was worried about West Virginia.
Huh.
You know, I mean, given the talent that they had and looking at our roster, you know, they probably were thinking that it would be a good game.
Just roll the ball out, and
but I would think that Kentucky and all the fans in Kentucky and probably you included probably didn't think West Virginia had a chance against Kentucky. And the funny thing about that game, we tell people all the time, the first half of that game, we did not make a 2-point field goal. All our field goals were threes. The first half,
unbelievable.
And you know, you're coaching the game, so you're not really thinking about that. And we get into halftime, we were playing 1-3-1 off and on during the season, and we didn't think Kentucky was a very good 3-point perimeter shooting team. They had a couple guys. I think Miller
was Miller. Yeah. He's still. Yeah, I think he's still on an NBA roster somewhere. I should know that.
Yeah, yeah. He was a good player, but John Wall wanted to get it to the basket. Bledsoe wasn't really that consistent. You know, their bigs were just bigs. Yeah. You know, they weren't going to shoot threes.
I don't think Patterson had the – maybe he had a little bit of a three in his game, but not quite yet.
Patterson, Cousins, you know. So, you know, we threw in a 1-3-1 a little bit, and they struggled with it. They struggled with it like maybe the last, I don't know, 8 minutes of the first half. And we went into halftime, and we looked at the stat sheet, and we like, Coach, we haven't made a 2-point field goal, and we were really surprised at that. And so, you know, as we talked about the second half, you know, we said, Coach, they're not scoring against 1-3-1. You know, let's just stay in it, you know, and let's see what happens. See if they score. And we came out of the second half, and we stayed in the 1-3-1, and they really struggled, and you know, they started taking, you know, four shots, bad shots from the perimeter. They really weren't throwing the ball inside. You know, we had Joe Mazzulla, you know, fronting Cousins and Patterson and all those other bigs that they had. But we had a lot of pressure on the ball from the perimeter, so they really couldn't throw it inside. And so, you know, they just started taking a lot of bad shots. And Deshaun Butler, who had probably – for the NCAA tournament during that time, he might have been the best player in the country. Hmm. You know, on that run from the first round all the way to the Final Four, and he just played an amazing game. Devin Ebanks, who was 6'9", he was you could put him in any position. He was playing 1-5, and so it was probably one of the best. Victories of my career, being able to beat a team like that, you know, they had so many draft picks, and like I said, I don't think anyone in the country, except for the people in the state of West Virginia, you know, thought that we had a chance.
Well, sometimes that's all you need. listen, you guys are, I mean, it's basically every year now, you're in the tournament. You know, usually you find yourselves in round of 32, obviously Sweet 16, 2015, 17, 18. You guys are doing something great down there. You, Coach Huggins, like you said, and I could tell you that now with Deuce here in New York, you're going to have a lot of additional fans of the Mountaineers from up north that will be rooting for the team moving forward. So take that for what it is, I guess.
Okay, we appreciate that. Yeah, they're really gonna like Deuce as a player, but they're also gonna fall in love with him as a person.
It's exciting. I already have, and I can't wait to see him with the games for real, Coach. Again, Coach Larry Harrison, thank you so much for the time today. Really appreciate it, and of course, you know, good luck in the season ahead.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. Sorry about the video.
Oh, you're good. Don't worry about it.
Didn't see this great looking face, you know, here, but you know, it's all good. And you know, I got your number, and when I come to a game or practice or something, I'll hit you up and let you know I'm in town.
That would be fantastic, because I would love to catch up.
Okay, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Be well. Have a great day. Bye bye.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.